On lesson number 17, as I'm sort of keeping a counter as we're going, and we're going to start talking about Jacob. And I'm going to probably spend, I've kind of outlined three lessons that I'm going to talk about over the next couple weeks. And this first one is in pursuit of God. I could, if you remember back a while back, and it's really hard, I guess, going over this because I had preached not long ago Jacob's journey, and that's still sort of fresh in my mind, and it's hard for me to go over the life of Jacob and not gravitate towards that message because it was just one of those things that really struck me very strong. And but I've tried to avoid that in teaching that, but if you want to go online and listen to that, that's up to you. It would fit here in this Bloodline of Jesus series that I'm doing, but I'm not going to necessarily cover that today, but I am going to talk about in pursuit of God, in pursuit of God. So that is, that's the title today, and probably next week I will talk about Jacob as the prophet, and then I am going to talk about him following in his grandfather's footsteps. So those are the three areas I'm going to go over the next few weeks, and I might possibly twist and turn a few places from there as well. But I really am actually looking forward to get beyond that, to get into the rest of the characters as we go through this bloodline of Jesus. So if you will turn with me to start with the one I'm going to start with, Genesis 25, verse 23. Genesis 25 and 23. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. From the time of his birth, something became very apparent in the life of Jacob. He was in pursuit of something. Before he was even born, there was a prophetic calling upon his life that would pass, that would come to pass later on in his life when we just read it, when God spoke to his mother and said, there's going to be two nations that are in your womb. One is going to be older, but the older is going to serve the younger. And this younger child is going to be the one who is going to be the stronger, who is going to be the chosen person, the one that I am going to use in his life. So I believe this is why the Bible records in Genesis 25 and 28, it says, and Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. The Bible doesn't really give us any specific reason as to why Rebekah had this fondness for Jacob. While it specifically says that Isaac gravitated to Esau because he ate of his venison. I want you to notice that. The Bible records, and Isaac loved Esau. Why? It gives a reason. Because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Gives no reason, gives no exact reason as to why that is the case. It records that Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was not so much. He was different. I want you to read what the scripture says, because it's here that I see a contradiction in the character or the makeup of Jacob. I didn't say a contradiction in the scriptures. I said a contradiction in the makeup or character of Jacob, okay? This is just something I seen that was warring on the inside of Jacob, not a contradiction in scripture. Understand that, okay? Watch this, Genesis 25, 27. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a skillful hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. Now, that word plain there would to us would mean drab or simple. But this word actually means, as I looked this up and I began to study this, this word actually means gentle. He was a gentleman. Okay? See, the Bible specifically shows us a picture of Esau. That Esau is a rugged, a tough man. But yet in Jacob, we see a softer side. He is a gentleman, okay? He, while his brother is out hunting, while his brother is out working in the field, Jacob is in the tents. The Bible says that Jacob dwelt in tents. Esau's out hunting, right? He's a man's man. He's hunting. He's you know, out in the field working. Here's Jacob hanging around the tents cooking. That's exactly how I felt Monday. My wife and my boys, they're all down at the lake, they're fishing, right? I'm up at where the picnic tables are, grilling food. I'm cooking while they're fishing. I will say though that when I got done, I went down there and I did catch some fish. But we'll do that. That's a whole other thing. But I can see this. Jacob just, he wasn't this rugged, tough. You know, Esau was this big, hairy man, right? Bible says he was so hairy that it was like goat skin. I mean, he was a hairy guy. Jacob was a gentleman. He wasn't as rough and rugged as his brother. Yet we see that he is given a different picture of a man in his name. When he is born, he is given a name that was a symbol of his action. In Genesis, I'm going to make a point with all this, don't worry. Genesis 25, 25. And the first came out red, that's Esau, all over like a hairy garment. I love that passage. I mean, that is one hairy guy. Bible says it's like a garment, like he's wearing clothes. He's so hairy. Okay, and they called his name Esau. After that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. So on one side, we see Jacob as a gentleman. But on the other side, we see him as aggressive. His brother is being born, and as an infant, he reaches up and grabs his brother's heel. And so his parents name him supplanter or heel grabber. They named him for his action, that he was a supplanter. This word simply means that the word supplanter means to take the place of another, that he was going to take the place of his brother. So we see that from the beginning of his life through prophecy and through his own actions, that his name means that he was to replace his brother as the head of the family. I want you to get that picture. Esau's the tough, rugged guy, right? Jacob's the gentle man. But yet the scriptures here are recording that Jacob is going to supplant Esau, that Jacob is going to take over, that Jacob is going to be the head of the family. Now, this doesn't seem to make sense in light of the day that they lived in. Okay, in the day that they lived in, because the stronger a person was, the more able-bodied he would be the one that would be chosen the head or the leader. Not to mention, the firstborn was 99% of the time, except in very special cases, also placed in that position as the leader of the family. So Esau, being a skilled hunter, would no doubt be the leader over a brother who was gentle and hangs around tents. Now wait, this is no doubt what Isaac saw. So is it any wonder why Jacob seems to have this contradiction about him? On one side, he's gentle. On the other side, he's aggressive. on one side, he's not so concerned with being out there and hunting. He's not so concerned with the field and stuff out there. Instead, he'll take care of the tents. He'll cook the food. He'll do those things. While another side of him shows him being aggressive and pursuing. So then you wonder, I said this, why Isaac would gravitate towards Esau? I mean, think about that. Why would Isaac gravitate towards Esau? That was why. He's like, okay, now this is the boy I want to take over the family. This is the boy that when I pass on, I want him to carry on. But it is here that I want to show us what it was that Jacob was really after. Jacob was really after something. There was something that Jacob was wanting to get. I think this is a beautiful story. I want you to see this. Because in order to do this properly, I need to explain to us the difference between the birthright and the blessing. Okay, you understand that the scriptures say there's a birthright and then there was this blessing. I want to kind of give us an idea of what this was. Now, we're going to talk about this again later, but I just want to lay this out right now. The birthright was in those days one of the most important things in the family. To have the birthright would have been the most important thing you could have. Now, except for extraordinary cases, this birthright was to go to the oldest son. The oldest son was to receive the birthright. A birthright was an honor given to the firstborn, bestowing head of the household. It was the status that he would receive, the right to inherit his father's estate. In other words, everything his father owned. The son with the birthright would receive at the least a double portion of everything his father owned. It would be passed down to him. He would, at the minimum, be given a double portion. In matter of fact, the children of Israel wrote this into a law in Deuteronomy 21:17. But he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he hath, for he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. He says if there's a firstborn, whether he's the hated or not, he deserves the double portion. The double portion was the minimum of what was passed down. The family blessing was a way to designate who became the head of the extended family when the father died. Now, like the birthright, now I'm gonna explain this. Like the birthright, the blessing generally went to the eldest son. But not always. All right, it's important to understand this. The birthright was the total of the inheritance, but the blessing was a portion of the birthright. In other words, it was designated as an element of the birthright. While the birthright dealt with the whole thing, including the blessing was a portion inside of the birthright. Got that? Everything that was passed down from the families, the goods, the cattle, the wealth, the lands, the servants, heads of house, the head of the household, the covenants, the spiritual blessings, that was all the birthright. Now you cut out of that the covenants, the head of household, and the spiritual blessing, and there's the blessing. It could be designated like this. The birthright dealt with the temporal things like wealth, land, right? Those types of things. But the blessing dealt with the spiritual things like spiritual covenants and spiritual blessings. Now, this is important. This is so important. Not only here, but later in the story. Because we know that the Bible says that Esau despised his birthright. Right? Genesis 25:33. And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. He had it. It was there. He said, I don't need it. I don't want it. It's not important to me. Hebrews says it like this, and it's a little stronger. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Watch. For ye know how that afterward he would have inherited the blessing. In other words, if he would have kept the birthright, he would have kept the blessing. If he wouldn't have sold the birthright, the blessing was coming to him. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. In other words, he never fully repented of his rejection of the birthright. He never fully asked for forgiveness. He thought, I could just get away with this. Now this begins to make perfect sense as to why all this took place the way it did. Because Esau, who was in line for it all, think about this. Esau, head of the house, right? Oldest son. He was in line to get everything. He was, after all, his father's favorite. But Esau, who was in line for everything, said, I don't really need this. I'm a man of my own strength, a man of my own ability. I really don't need all of my father's inheritance because I'm entitled to at least a portion of it anyway. I'm entitled to a part of it anyway. And with my own strength, with my own ability, I can myself make something of myself. I don't need this. He wanted to please himself at the moment. That is the danger, the danger of trying to please ourselves now, not realizing the spiritual consequences later. Watch. He says, I can do this on my own. I don't need anything else. And it's apparent as he thought, I can give away the birthright. I can give away all the other stuff. And my father will still pass to me the status of the head of household, and he'll also pass to me the spiritual blessing. He thought, I can give up my birthright and still keep my blessing. He thought, I can give away this stuff and I can still keep this blessing. My dad, because I'm his favorite, he's still going to give me the head of household. He's still going to give me that status. He's still going to give me the spiritual blessings. He knew he was his father's favorite. That is why he reacted the way he did when he found out that his blessing had been taken. Watch, Genesis 27:33. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all that thou camest and blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. Esau comes and says, can you believe this? He stole. I believe it was in this moment that Isaac both remembered and recognized the word of the Lord when God told Rebekah, the elder shall serve the younger. I believe it's right here that he saw it, that he realized. And that's why he said, yea, and he shall. Watch this. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he's taken away my blessing. Esau thought he was at least entitled to that blessing. And then he says, haven't you at least reserved something for me? Don't you have anything for me? I want you to notice, though, what Jacob was after. I want you to see this. Because it was in this moment when Isaac blessed him that he got his spiritual blessing. I want to read this spiritual blessing to you. Genesis 27:28. Now this is a pretty cool blessing. I mean, this is a good one for all of us to want. Therefore, God give thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brother and let thy mother's son bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And it came to pass as Isaac had made an end of blessing and Jacob was scarce gone out from the presence of his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. I want you to know, he says, let people serve thee. Let nations bow down to thee. I want you to have, I want the ground to bless thee. I want God, I want the dew of heaven to bless thee. I want anyone that curses you is going to be cursed. Him that blesses you is going to be blessed. It's a spiritual blessing that is being passed on to Jacob. But I want you to notice there was no mention anywhere of getting the physical inheritance. There was no mention of him getting that physical inheritance. No mention of Isaac saying, hey, I'm going to give you this, and you're going to get this, and you're going to get this. And none of that was mentioned. Now, we mentioned this last week. Seems like a million years ago, but we mentioned this last week, that Isaac, that when Isaac sent him away, he sent him only with the spiritual side of the birthright. In other words, he sent him only with the blessing. He never sent him with the physical side of the birthright. But here's what I contend, and this is where I want to get to. I contend tonight that that was all that Jacob was really after anyway. Jacob was not after the material things. What Jacob wanted was that spiritual blessing to be passed down. What he wanted was to be the next in line. What he wanted was to be the one to whom the spiritual things would flow. You see, in no way did he try to take any of the birthright with him. You see no place that he took any of the goods, they took any of the wealth, that he even argued with his father as to give me some of my stuff. In other words, get this, he left the temporal, the temporary, the earthly, and took with him and says, you can leave all that alone. What I'm really after is the spiritual. This explains why he was after the birthright to begin with. Because without the birthright, he wouldn't get the blessing. He had to get the birthright in order to get the blessing. But he was not after the physical and the material. What you see in Jacob, get this, my whole point right here, I'm getting ready to make it. What you see in Jacob is a man who was gentle when it came to the things of this flesh. But when it came to the things of God, you find a man who was aggressive, who was a supplanter, and who was a heel grabber. What you find in this man is, you know what? When it comes to the things of this earth, I'm not really going to be all that aggressive about that. I don't need everything that this world has to give. I don't need new cars. I don't need new houses. I don't need all kinds of stuff. But one thing I have to have is I've got to have the power of God living inside of me. What I've got to have is the spiritual things working and at work in my life. See, I think sometimes we get things turned around. I know I made a long intro to get to this point. I think sometimes we get things turned around. We're very passionate about the temporal things of this life, but very indifferent about the spiritual things. We become very passionate about the things of this life. And we're going after it. We're trying to get it, and I've got to get this, and I've got to get that, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do that, and I've got to provide this, and I've got to make this happen, and I've got to make this work. And when it comes to the things of God, well, I'll get around to it if I got time. If I've got time today to pray, then I'll pray. If I don't, well, I don't. If I have time to read my Bible today, then I will. If not, oh, well, I won't. But let it be your job. Let it be something in your life. And all of a sudden, you know, I've got to do this. That's right. He's going to keep putting things. As long as we let him, See, if we allow ourselves to chase those things and those things become so important to us, then guess what? He'll keep putting those things out there. He'll continue. My dad told me this one time. This was a long time ago. He says, Joe, if you react to every little fire that's out there, he says, and you know what? He's going to keep putting fires out there, so you keep chasing fires. He says, what you really need to do is just keep looking towards God. And keep pursuing God. Don't worry about all those little distractions that are all over the place. That is why Jesus, you knew I had to go there, right? That is why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, 31 through 33, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you need all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What he's saying is, he's saying if you're going to be passionate about something, be passionate about the things of God. If I'm going to pursue something aggressively, if I'm going to go after something aggressively, I want it to be the things of God. Because if I'll do that, he knows my other needs. He knows the stuff that I need. I want you to notice that's what Jacob did. Jacob said, you know, I don't need all my father's physical wealth. I don't, when Isaac by this time was a wealthy man. I don't need all that stuff. You know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to do what my father wants me to do. I'm going to go where I'm supposed to go and do what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to pursue God the way I should. And I'll leave behind all this stuff. I want you to understand one thing. God was not going to allow his blessings to just go to anyone. We live in a day where they teach this name it and claim it. You can just do whatever you want and God will bless you. I'm sorry, God doesn't just allow his blessings to go to anyone. And so often we equate the blessings of God as to physical things anyway, when there's so many non-physical things that God blesses us with that are so much greater than these physical things. Remember, this blessing was the blessing that was going to go all the way to the Messiah. It wasn't going to just anybody. It couldn't just make it to anybody. God said, Esau, you despised it. You didn't think it was a big deal. I want my blessing. That blessing that will go all the way to the Messiah. I want that blessing to go to someone who wants it and will cherish it. And what we find in Jacob, we find this pursuit of God that is evident throughout his life. I want to read. I'm going to take us to a few passages. Don't worry, I'm going to be done in 15 minutes. The first thing we find is he obeyed his parents. I'm going to teach this one to my boys. But he obeyed his parents. Watch this, Genesis 28, verse 7. And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padan Aram. All right? He did, and he went where his parents told him to go. He obeyed them. Esau, on the other hand, when he found that his parents sent Jacob away to a place and said, I don't want you to marry the daughters around here, Esau went and did exactly against what his dad and mom wanted. Watch this. Because of the obedience of Jacob, God appears to him while he is sleeping. And Jacob sees angels ascending and descending from heaven on a ladder, going from heaven to earth, up and down the ladder. And he looks and sees all these angels in his sleep. And I want to read to you Genesis 28, 16. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning. Now we think we have it rough. and took the stone that he had for his pillows. Anyone here sleeping on stones? This lets us know Jacob left with nothing. Jacob didn't go with stuff. He was sleeping out under the open skies. He is sleeping on a stone. And he took the stone and he set it up for a pillar. And he poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of the place Bethel. I want you to get this. But the name of the city was first at Luz. He called it. He took a stone, the stones that he was laying on. He took a stone and he turned it up, set it up, poured oil on it, and said, I'm going to mark this. I want to mark this place because this is a place that I have seen God. And watch this vow. Jacob vowed a vow. He said, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on. Remember what Jesus just said? So that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou hast given, thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth to thee. This is where you get the picture of the tithe. I'm not going to go on to there, but I want you to notice this. He builds this and he says, if God's with me, right? And he takes me and he brings me back. I've marked this place. Now I want you to catch that. He named it Bethel. We're going to get into this. He then spends 21 years in Haran. Until one day in Genesis 31:3, the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. So what do you think Jacob does? He does exactly what God says for him to do. It's on his journey back that we find the story of him wrestling. We've read this story. We know where Jacob wrestled with an angel and the change of his name from Jacob to Israel takes place. Now, this moment to me that I'm going to read is the crowning moment of his pursuit of God. This is the moment that I believe God was looking at when he told his parents, and the elder shall serve the younger. This was the moment that I believe God was looking through time, and God saw this moment. Watch Genesis 32, verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men and hast prevailed. I want you to understand what is taking place. There is a wrestling taking place. And God requires of Jacob. He says, Jacob, tell me who you are. And Jacob had to recount his name. He had to tell him who he was. Well, I'm that supplanter. I'm that one. I did that. He says, no, your name's not going to be called Jacob anymore. I don't care. I don't care what your past is. Your name's not going to be called that anymore. I'm changing it. Because your name is now going to be called Israel. For as a prince, thou hast power with God and with men and hast prevailed. He says, I'm changing who you are. I am making you into what I've called you to be. I like verse 30. I'm just going to jump to verse 30. He says, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face and my life is preserved. It is after this crowning moment that God speaks to him again. Now, I think this is rather fascinating because it's as if God says, I kept my end of the deal. Now it's time for you to keep yours. Watch this. This to me struck me so fascinating. God said, I kept my end of the bargain. You ever made a deal with God? Have you ever not kept up with it? God's looking at Jacob. He's saying, Jacob, you said that if I would do this, this, and this, that you would do this. And it's as if God is saying, Jacob, I've done mine. Now it's time for you to do yours. Watch this. When he's returning back in Genesis 35, verse 1, and God said unto Jacob, arise, go to Bethel and dwell there. Watch. And make there an altar unto God that appeareth unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods that were in their hand and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. In other words, he says, everything that identifies with your past, I want you to give that to me. And I'm going to bury it. And he buries it under the oak. And they journeyed. I want you to watch this. They did this. And I want you to notice. And the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. And they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is the land of Canaan. That is Bethel. And he and all the people that were with him. Watch. And he built an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. What did God tell him? God said, I kept my end of the deal. Now it's time for you to keep yours. The first thing he did was he stripped off his past. So I'm not that anymore. He then builds an altar unto the Lord. See, the first time, he marked it with a stone. Remember that? He took the stone that was his pillow, and he marked it and placed oil on it. The second time, he built an altar there. The first time, he just marked it and said, this is a special place. The second time, he said, I'm building something unto God. I'm building an altar. I also want you to notice this. The first time, he called it Bethel. The word Bethel means house of God. The second time he called it El Bethel, God of the house of God. In other words, the first time God appeared to me, I didn't fully understand who he is. I didn't fully understand what he was all about. I didn't fully understand what was taking place in this spiritual acquaintance that I came into. And so all I could say was Bethel, meaning this it must be the house of God. I don't know him. I don't understand him. I don't get it, but I'm just going to say, and I'm just going to mark it. But the second time he said, now I know that he is the God of Bethel, that this is my God. He's the one who brought me out. He's the one who's carried me through. He's the one who's done all this for me, and now I know who he is. The first time he didn't know. The first time he didn't understand. The first time he didn't have it right. He didn't know what it was all about. But the second time he understood, this is my God. And I'm building an altar. The first time he went to Bethel, he was poor, running from his brother with fear in his heart. The second time he comes to Bethel, he is a prince with wealth and blessings. The first time he shows up, he's in trouble. He's got fear. He doesn't fully get everything. Second time he says, now I know. Now I understand. I tell you, in your pursuit of God, we don't always fully understand. I don't always fully understand when I first started to learn about it. Now, I'm slightly different because I was raised in this. I know a lot more from a child because I was raised in it. But I can tell you, this takes stages. It takes progress. It takes movement towards God. And I don't understand everything. Even today, I don't understand everything. But I do know this. The more I pursue Him, the more I go after Him, the more I seek after Him, seek after His ways, seek after what He's wanting, the more I seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, the more I start to understand. The more He's revealed to me, the more I see. If there's anything I could challenge us with today, and really the whole, I guess, the point of this message, is our pursuit should not be a pursuit after all this stuff. Our pursuit should be a pursuit for Him. All that other stuff will take care of itself. God will bless your life. God will lead your life. God will help your life. Know what He's done in mine. Next week, I want to show you the result of this pursuit of God. I want to show you how Jacob came from this man who was running in fear to this time. Now, the next week, we're going to see the prophetic side of Jacob, how he was sensitive to the voice of God, how he was sensitive to the things of God. Not only did he pursue God, but he spoke of things to come. Just like Abraham, his grandfather. And then the week after that, I'm going to talk about showing the similarities between Abraham and Jacob. Jesus, God, I thank You for Your word. God, I pray, Lord, that You would help each and every one of us. God, I pray, Lord, that our desires and our heart's desire would be to pursue You. God, to not allow the stuff, the things, and God, the things that we go through and the things that seem so important in our lives, Lord, that grab our mind's attention and grab our heart's focus. God, I pray, Lord, that God, that we could, God, cast that stuff to the side. God, that we could pursue You. God, that we could seek You first. God, that we could go after You with everything that we have, with everything that we are. Lord, that we could chase after You. Because I know, Lord, that as we do that, Lord, You help us. God, You open up things to us. You open up doors. You allow blessings to flow through our life. God, I pray, Lord, for every single one of us. God, that we would tonight, Lord, decide that I'm going to make that pursuit just a little bit stronger than what I've ever done it in my life before. God, I'm going to pursue You in a greater way than I ever have before. God, I'll see You. God, because I know that You'll be faithful. Help each one of us, Lord. Bless, God, each one that's here tonight, Lord. Go with them and help them. God, continue to stir our hearts and lead us into everything that You want us to be. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.